Hello, this is Terry Cheek, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Marion, North Carolina. I want to thank you for choosing our broadcast, and my prayer is that it will be an encouragement to your walk with the Lord. Comments or questions can be directed to me via the link on our sermon audio page. Now, on to your selection.
Tonight, if you have your Bible, take it and open it to James chapter 1 and verse 26. James chapter 1. And verse 26 is where I will begin tonight. And as you find your place, and before I read the passage, I would like to ask you, what do you think of when you hear the word religion? It's thrown around a lot today. We hear religion on the news, especially during the last week since the passing of Billy Graham. We've heard the Christian religion. We've heard religion mentioned more this past week than I have in a long, long time. But if you listen, you'll hear religion mentioned for the Muslims. You will hear religion mentioned for the Catholics. You'll hear religion mentioned for any and everything that is taking place in the world around us today that has to deal with worship. James talks about religion. And that's what I want to read to you tonight. It's a rather long passage to get the complete passage and to get everything in context, but it is one worth listening to. And I will say this tonight. I have started doing something a little bit different tonight. On the table at the back, and as you leave, you're welcome to these. There are printed pages back there that have questions on them. Questions that come from this message. Questions that come from this passage. So you can take those questions and you can go home after listening to the message. You can reread the passage. And if you need to, you can go back online when I post the message and you can re-listen to it. And you can do those questions and have a reflection into your own life as you do those questions, and kind of have a personal Bible study off of this passage. I hope to and plan to do that throughout the book of James as we continue, so that you can have something to take and have a personal involvement. After you leave on Wednesday night, you will have a way to take it with you through the rest of the week and be able to work with it, study with it, think about it. And if you need it, you may not have enough room there to write your questions down, but just take your piece of paper, notebook paper, and write your answers down on them. Something for you to take home with you and make the study of James a little more personal, a little more family-oriented. Reading from chapter 1, verse 26. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons? For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring in goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say to him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which ye are called? If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin, and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy, that show no mercy. And mercy rejoiceth against judgment. So, we talked about religion as we opened. So let me ask you another question. Have you ever listened closely to some of the definitions that are thrown around about Christianity? Not opinions, and not any of those things, but actual definitions of what people claim Christianity to be. If you watch the television networks, the news shows in particular, those that are chosen to appear on those networks are very broad in their definitions of Christianity. And honestly, most of them are very worldly in their definition of Christianity. Actually, all of them can be summed up in a very simple statement. What they like to teach and what they like to tell is that if you want to be a Christian, then you must do good and you must do kind works for others. Now let that sink in for just a moment. It actually sounds pretty good, doesn't it? If you want to be a Christian, you have to do good works and you have to be kind. Well, sure, isn't that some of the marks of a Christian? Well, it certainly is. But it isn't what makes a Christian. Where do those marks come from? Is it something that we just simply choose to do? Is it something that we say, well, I'm going to turn over a new leaf and I woke up and I felt pretty good this morning, so I think I'm going to go to work or go wherever and I think I'm going to be nice. I think I'm going to do something good today. And then we wake up another morning and, well, I don't feel so good today, so I'm not going to do so much. Does that mean that the first day we were a Christian and the next day we were not? Christianity is not determined by our actions. But our actions do determine where they're coming from. Christianity is the source of our actions if we're Christian. And this passage is going to bring that out. And it's going to be in much more detail, in much clearer detail. Christians are supposed to be doers of good deeds, aren't we? It sounds almost good enough to be true when we're listening to that very broad and often very liberal viewpoint of Christianity. But it isn't true. It has just enough truth in it to try to lure you into that way of thinking. It has just enough truth in it to try to make you feel interested, feel motivated, feel like you want to participate. But it never lasts. It always wears off. It always just dissipates and falls away. And then what happens? You have to come back and you have to be remotivated again. Well, we're here tonight not to be motivated. We're here tonight to be inspired. We're here tonight to be fed spiritually. Because I hope you came hungry tonight for the Word of God. I hope you came hungry tonight to learn and to grow and to develop. Because that's what God wants in your life. James, when we read these passages from James, James is not trying to judge or condemn the church. But you have to remember where the church came from at this point. Stephen had been stoned. There had been a great persecution that had arisen in Jerusalem. The government had started persecuting, and society had started persecuting the Christians, and all of the church except for the apostles left Jerusalem. They were scattered. And James had written this, the book of James is actually a letter that was written to those Christians to encourage them, to give them inspiration, and to remind them that they were not alone, to remind them that they needed to stay the path of what Christ had taught. They needed to stay the path of what the apostles had been preaching. They needed to stay that path because it was very important. They could not become vindictive. And they could not become partial in their dealings with other people. Because honestly, if someone came into your house because you were a Christian and they literally ran you out of your house, ran your wife and your children out of the home, they burnt your home down in front of you and they chased you out of town, it would be difficult to trust people. And you would want to be partial. You would want to show partiality to people, especially those who had your viewpoints or those who could benefit you. If you went from living in your nice, comfortable home to living in a tent or sleeping under a tarp or a lean-to, then those people who could help you financially or help you materially, you would be tempted to show partiality. James had written this letter to keep the Christian on track, to keep the main thing the main thing. Well, I hope to share with you from God's Word tonight some of the things that we can learn from this passage. It's certainly not all of them, but it is some that I feel are very significant in our church, and they're very significant things in our community, and they're very significant needs that we can use to help bring others in this area to Jesus Christ. So first, the marks of a true and acceptable religion. We need to know what to look for when we're going to be talking about religion, talking about Christianity. What is it that makes Christianity, Christianity? Well, first, we need to realize it is a controlled speech that displays a changed heart. If a man is among you and he seems to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, it's in vain. In other words, we've got to keep our mouth in check. We have to watch not only what we say, but we have to watch how we say it. It can really be a very big deal today. And something more important than our speech in today's society, with social media the way that it is, you have to watch how you write things. You have to watch how you put your statements down. I know I had a conversation with someone a few years ago, and we started exchanging some ideas over a statement that was made. And in the end, I had proven some points to this person. They said, well, all I was doing was asking a question. And I said, no, sir, you weren't asking a question. You made a statement. Well, no, I asked a question. You ended it with a period, not a question mark. You made a statement. And he came back and he said, you're right. You're right. I did not do that. And I asked him, I said, how was I supposed to know when I was looking at it grammatically and there was a period and not a question? Not a question mark. It makes a difference. And that is why some of the fast little texting things that we use today, we have to be careful. They can be misinterpreted. And also, you can't convey emotion. You have to be a very good writer to be able to convey emotion in anything that you're writing. So it is important that we communicate correctly. It is important that we communicate properly. It is important that we watch what we say and how we say it, because it can and it will come back to bite us. We have to watch how we say things. And we have to watch when we say them. Because if we say them around the wrong person, and they only hear a portion of it, and they go tell someone else what they think they heard, before you know it, you got a mess on your hands. And you got a lot of people with a lot of hurt feelings. And you got a lot of folks that don't really know what's going on. You got a lot of folks that are trying to put things together, trying to figure out how to straighten out a mess. The mark of a true and an acceptable religion, the mark of a true Christian, is someone that watches and is concerned about their tongue. They're concerned about how they communicate. Well, also we find that the mark of an acceptable religion and true Christianity is sacrificial care for those that are in need. Pure religion and undefiled before God is visit the fatherless and the widows. Why did James stop there? In James's day, there was no social security. There were no social programs at all. There was no welfare. There was no EBT cards. There was none of that. There was no health department. There was no concerns about any of that. You were on your own. If something happened that Mama and Daddy both got killed in some type of an accident, then the child went to the nearest relative or whomever would take the child in. Occasionally, at this point in time, there might have been some orphanages in the church or some Christians in the church that would have taken them in. And then the widows were the same way. If a woman was above 60 years of age, as we get later into the scriptures, we find out from Paul's writings. But here you had widows in the church in Jerusalem. There were the Greek widows and there were the Jewish widows. And remember, the whole thing of the first seven, what we call deacons, were called because there was an argument that came up in the church about how the Greek widows were treated over the Jewish widows. Some felt like they weren't getting the proper amount of food. That was all they had. The church was the social program. So what James is saying is that we have to find the helpless, and we have to find the self, those that can't take care of themselves, those that can't help themselves, those that struggle. And there are those today that do that. And unfortunately, we live in a culture and in a society today that is drug-ridden, that is alcohol-saturated, that is sin-centered, and where adults will hide behind their children to get anything and everything that they can. And sadly enough, we have to work with that. Are there answers? Yes, there are answers. But there are also politicians and those that work for the politicians and those that are appointed by the politicians who have separate agendas. And if it'll buy them a vote, they could care less about a human life. So the mark of a true Christian and the mark of true religion are the people who from their heart take care of those that can't take care of themselves. It isn't something we do out of an obligation. That's not what God's looking for. He's not looking for some grumbling, grouchy, I'll do it because I have to type of an attitude. You may not like the family circumstance. You may not like the family situation. You may not like any of the things that are surrounded by it. But if there are innocent children, if there is an older person, if there is true need there, then God says for His people to step up with the right heart, step up with the right attitude, step up with the right mindset. That doesn't mean two or three or four can take care of every problem that comes up. But it does mean that those two or three or four can help take care of every problem that comes up. Well, there are more marks of a Christian and acceptable religion. And the other one is a clear separation from the ways of the world. Have not the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. We ought to be captivated by Christ. We ought to be captivated by Him. We ought to be in love with Him. He ought to be on our mind and on our heart daily. You say, well, preacher, that's just something that can't happen. Oh, yes, it can. I used to think that. I used to feel that very same way. I used to feel the very same way. There is no way that I can walk around 24 hours a day, 7 days a week with Jesus on my heart. And yes, there is, because I do it today. When I wake up in the morning, I have Jesus on my mind. When I go to bed at night, I have Jesus on my mind. When I get up in the morning, the first thing I want to do is open a Bible and I want to read a little bit. Before I eat anything, before I have a cup of coffee, I want to sit down and I want to put God's Word in front of me. When I go to bed at night, the last thing I want to see before I go to bed is God's Word. I could care less about the television programs. I could care less about the movies. I could care less about any of the other things going on. My wife is important. My family is important. My job is important. But God is the most important thing in my life. I am captivated by the glory of Christ. Yes, it can happen. It can happen in your life too. Are you willing to turn yourself over to the supremacy of Christ? He is greater than wealth. Chapter 2 begins with not giving respect of persons. Not putting people above Jesus. We see some examples there. The person who comes in that is wealthy comes into the church, and that's what James is talking about. Somebody walks into the church and they've got some money. And the church just goes falling head over heels for them because they have some money. And then James comes back and he throws some correction out there. Are they more important than Christ? Are they more important than the poor person? What does Jesus say? And then James goes on to say that those that were poor are the ones that Christ actually went after. If you go back into Matthew chapter 5 and the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Now, poor in spirit are those that have spiritual need and those that are hungry to have that spiritual need filled. Well, what are they coming into the church for? They're coming into the church to find some spiritual filling. They're coming into the church to be touched. They're coming into the church to know something about God and something about Jesus. But if all the church is going to do is look at the clothes that they're wearing, is look at the color of their skin, look at how clean they are or they may not be, look at what they have or what they don't have. And if the church is going to assign seating based on these things, then we have become judges and we have become partial and we are guilty of sin. And it's wrong. It's just as wrong for us as it was for the church in James' day. just as wrong. Well, not only are we going to be captivated and gripped by Christ, but we need to be devoted to Christ. You see, favoritism is disrespectful to people. The word favoritism in the Greek literally means to receive according to the face or to make judgments on people's outside appearance. If we're making decisions on the outside appearance and God is making decisions on the heart, we're going to be on two different levels. We're going to be disappointing God. So if we disrespect God's creation, we're disrespecting God. Everyone was created in that image. Now, do we live in a day when some people could do better for themselves than they do? Yes. Do we live in a day where some people in the church could do better than they do? Yes. Do we live in a day when we could all make improvements in ourselves? Absolutely we do. But that is up to the Word of God and the conviction of the Holy Spirit to work out in our lives, to grow and teach and tell. It isn't up to us to disrespect one another, and it isn't up to us to dishonor God. We need to be aware that we will be judged by Christ. Over in Matthew chapter 12, we are told in verse 36 and 37 from Jesus, that every idle word that men speak we will give an account of in the day of judgment. For by our words we're justified, and by thy words we be condemned. How we live, how we behave, what we say, and how we say it are things that are going to be held against us in judgment. We have to be aware of judgment, especially when we get caught up and consumed in judging others. We have to realize God too will judge us. God too will judge us, just as He will judge those whom we are trying to judge tonight. We need to be a reflection of the mercy of Christ. As we have received mercy, so we give it. Again, I reference back to Matthew chapter 6. In case you haven't caught on, James goes back and James uses the Sermon on the Mount quite a bit. He references it quite a bit throughout his letter. So here in Matthew chapter 6, James is telling us, if we forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you, but if you forgive not, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So do we want to have our sins forgiven? Then we need to not hold other people's sins over their heads. We need to encourage them. We need to teach them. We need to train them to come to Christ to get His forgiveness. And when they have gotten His forgiveness, then their life will change from the inside out. And when their life changes from the inside out, it will be evident in the way that they live, in the way that they talk, in the way that they do. And then at that point, when we see that change, there's no reason to hold anything over anyone's head. There isn't a person sitting in a church tonight that has got a past. Some are more flamboyant, I guess, than others, but there isn't a person sitting in a church tonight that doesn't have a past. It may be one little moment that you think you've got swept under the rug that nobody will ever know about. But God does. Maybe you live for years separated from God. Maybe you lived it very publicly and very boldly. But now it's under the blood of Christ. It is forgiven. Because God has forgiven it, so should we. And we should move on. We should count each other worthy. Worthy of the calling of Christ. You see, James wanted the church to realize that even though they were living in some perilous times, even though they were living under horrible circumstances and horrible conditions, he wanted them to realize those conditions and those situations that were going on in the world should not conform them to the world, but it should strengthen them to transform the world into being followers of Christ. So how is it manifested? How is true religion and true Christianity manifested? It's expressed through love. If we love God, we will by default love our fellow man. We will love those in the church. If we love God, we will love our church family. If we love God, we will love the lost. If we love God, we will love the opportunity to reach out to those who despise Him, who despise us. If we love God, we will love the gospel and we will want to proclaim it. Maybe we're not good at doing it ourselves, but maybe we're good at helping others. Maybe we can empower others to go farther with it. There are those opportunities. The point is, our faith needs to be expressed in love. And the love that God has shown us expressed outward to those around us. The Lord Jesus Christ should be living through us. And His love needs to be exhibited through us. Does that mean we compromise God's Word? No, it doesn't. We can love people. We can show people dignity. We can show people respect without compromising God's Word. We don't have to agree with everything that they do. We don't have to agree with their lifestyle. We don't have to agree with sin that might be present in their life. But that doesn't mean we can't love them enough to share Jesus with them. Let Jesus clean them up. Let Jesus bring them to salvation. Let the Holy Spirit work in their life. We love them enough to give them the message of God and let God take it from there. We stay with it. We pray for them. And we pray with them. That's why He ends in mercy. Mercy received is mercy given. If we get mercy, it's because we have shown mercy. If we can't live this life and not show mercy to other human beings, then we have no right to expect any come judgment day. Because we're told plainly, it won't happen. And I don't know about you, but that's not something that I look forward to. That's not something that I want to put out in front in my life. That's not something that I want to stand before the Lord and have Him accuse me of not being merciful. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for the privilege of being in Your house. I thank You for the privilege of opening Your Word. Those that have came this way this evening, I thank You for their presence. And I pray, Lord, that You would take this message of Your servant James. And I pray that You would take it around the world. And I pray that You would use it to touch hearts and lives. And I pray that You would use it to grow me closer to You, to help me better understand and better apply what it means to be a true Christian and have true religion in my life. Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your salvation. I thank You for Jesus Christ, my Savior and my Lord. And I'll just ask that everything that's done and said would be done and said to lift Him up and glorify Him. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.